chapter 11. You might want to open your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 11. We've been plowing forward slowly through Romans 9 through 11. And of course, let me just ask this question for anybody to throw out an answer. What is the theme of the book of Romans? What is justification by faith? Justification by faith is the theme of Romans. In the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, Paul just hammers this theme. And he proves that justification is by faith. Now, you would have thought that that would have been well known in Israel. Justification has always been by faith. No one's ever been saved any other way. And in fact, in Romans chapter 4, Paul proves that these great Old Testament saints, they were saved by faith. Who are the two people that are mentioned in Romans chapter 4? Abraham and David. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's a great doctrine right there, you see. And even in Abraham's day, in 2000 B.C., he was saved the same way. And David acknowledged it. David said in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, I believe it is. Let's go ahead and read that. Romans 4, 6 through 8 says, "Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Is that not a blessing right there? That God will not impute sin to our account. Lost people then say, well, let's just keep sinning then. You see? Well, it doesn't work for lost people. It only works for those that believe in Jesus, you see. And God does not impute sin to our account. It's justification by faith. Brother Jack. Brother Jack read Romans 8:1 this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, you see. So justification by faith. Why was that so hard in the Jewish nation, you see? They didn't believe that. They didn't believe that. What did they believe? Well, it appears that they believed that they were saved by lineage. Remember the Pharisees, when they were arguing with Jesus, they stuck their chest out and they said, but Abraham is our father. Basically, Jesus said, you know what? That doesn't matter. So what? Jesus said, really, if Abraham were your father in the real sense, in the spiritual sense, you wouldn't try to kill me. But they despised Jesus, hated him, and they said, we're okay because we are children of Abraham. But does being a child, a physical child of someone, make you acceptable with God? No. Many Americans, I think that they're saved because they're born in America. Maybe not so much anymore. You know, recently, our last president declared that we weren't a Christian nation. But at any rate, it's not by lineage, is it? You're not saved because your parents were saved. The Jews, however, thought so. They thought that we're saved because we have the law. It seemed like that God was just favoring them because he came down and gave them the Ten Commandments, you see. And later, after that, of course, there were many other commandments that the nation was given. And they thought, well, we must be special. They were special. They were a special people under the Mosaic Covenant. But they weren't saved because they had the law, were they? Is anyone saved because I recite the Ten Commandments to them? You see? Somebody comes in off the street and I open my Bible and I read them the Ten Commandments, are they saved? No. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 2, not the hearers of the law, but the doers of the law. But the Jews thought, well, we're okay because we hear the law. We have it. We go to the synagogues every day or every Saturday. Every seventh day we go to the synagogue and we hear the law of God. We must be accepted. The Jews thought that they were perhaps saved because they had a covenant. What was their covenant called? Mosaic. And they say, we're good with God. God has made a covenant with us. But the only problem with this Mosaic covenant was that it said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. And if you disobey me, I'll what? Curse you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. So it does being under the Mosaic covenant save you? They thought it did. We're good with God because we're under the Mosaic covenant. They thought that they were saved by works. You see? We'll do our good works and get to heaven. That's really what they thought the law was all about, you see. Do good works and God will accept you. They also thought that they were saved by their rituals. Right? They said, I know we're sinners. I lie and steal just like the Gentiles, but I'll do my rituals. I'll carry my lamb to the altar and slay it, pour its blood out, and I'm okay. I'll wave incense. We'll go to the temple and wave incense around, and that'll make us okay with God. And so they trusted in their rituals and their ceremonies. But then Paul comes along in the book of Romans and says, no, you're justified by what? Faith. Justified by faith. But the Jews didn't believe. They didn't believe. What'd they do when Christ came? Killed him. He came into his own and his own received them not. That's so the majority of the nation didn't believe in him. No, we think we prefer this way. And we don't think Jesus is the Savior of the world. And we don't believe in him. We'll keep right on with this system. And so there's a big difference between these people and these people. You see. We come to Romans chapter 11. And in verse 1, Paul is really asking and answering, explaining this question. You see, these people right here are now saying, according to Paul's doctrine, has God cast us away? You see. And so Paul asks the question in verse 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? And what is the answer to that, of course? He has not cast away his people. However, later on in our chapter, Paul is going to say, he has cast them away. Now that causes us to scratch our head, doesn't it? But the point that he's making is, the point he's clarifying is, who are his people? You see. Romans chapter 11 does say that God has cast away this people, those people that did not believe in Christ, those people that clung to these things, they've been cut off. They're the branch that was cut off, remember? Cast away. They've suffered a great fall, you see. But Paul says in verse 1, God has not, or has God cast away his people? And the answer is what? No, because these people are not his people. That's what he's going to say. So let's take a look in verse 1 and read a little bit. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. And then what is the proof that God has not cast away his people? What is the proof? Well, the first proof is Paul. Was Paul a Jew? Yes, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, the seed of Abraham. He was a Jew in every sense of the word, a Pharisee, a religious leader, zealous beyond all others. And he said, God has not cast me away. So don't think that God has utterly cast his people away. By the way, is it possible, is it even conceivable that God would ever cast his people away? It is not possible. That's a fundamental doctrine of the Bible. We've studied it many times in here. But John chapter 6 and verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You see, the two verses later, John 6:39 says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose, how many of them? Nothing. I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. In John 10:28, Jesus says, and I give unto them, that is my people, eternal life, and they shall never, what? Perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And in John 10:29 it says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see. So you're in the Father's hands, you're in Christ's hands. Christ has given the elect unto Christ to save. And Christ says, I will certainly do it. I will not lose one of them. No, nothing in this world can prevent me from saving them. No man can pluck them out of my hand. Is it possible that God would ever, could ever, cast away his people? Impossible. Because God is powerful to save. He is wise to save. He's fully able to save. Nothing can prevent him from saving. And therefore, it's impossible. It's just an impossibility. That's why Paul says, God forbid, this cannot be, that God can cast away who? His people. But we're going to see a little bit later that he has cast away this bunch. So Paul is the first example, then, that God has not cast away his people. What is the underlying reason why Paul cannot be cast away? Yes. And look, and just read it in the text there, Romans 11. It says, God hath not cast away his people, which he what? Foreknew. Now don't be like the Arminians and try to fit that into the Arminian doctrine. They say that means that God looked down in the future and foresaw that you were going to be a good guy and saved you. That cannot be. But what this word foreknow means is that he previously That's the for part. You see, he previously knew you. When did he previously know you? Before the foundation of the world, when he chose you. He set his love upon you, you see. Out of all the masses of people, for whatever reason, we don't know why, but he chose you. He foreknew you. And so the basis of all this is election. The basis is election. That's why God, why it's impossible to cast his people away. Absolutely impossible. Well, I think the Catholics adopt much of this. They adopt much of this and continue on with all these rituals. For example, the human priesthood. You see? So they pull this out of the Old Testament and say, okay, we'll have priests. The problem is Christ is the priest, you see. These priests over here were merely types. They were just pictures of the real priest. But so many religions say, oh, we like this. This is, we like these rituals. We like having a temple, you know, so we'll build us a temple. And we'll have human priests, and we'll have an altar, and we'll slay some animals. The only trouble is, all of those things were mere pictures of the Christ that was coming. And in the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews says, don't go back to this. You Jews who have come into the church and attached yourself to the church in some form or fashion, don't you dare go back. Because if you go back, how can you possibly be saved? You've rejected the only way of salvation, which is Christ. The rituals are not the way of salvation, but Christ is. And in Galatians, Paul encourages the Gentile believers not to adopt Judaism. Judaism was a pre-Christ religion which pointed to Christ. But once Christ is here, it's a sin, it's apostasy to go back to the rituals. You're denying Christ if you go back to the rituals. But many religions do. All right, God hath not cast away who? His people. Now, we're not talking about the nation, because all of the nation were not his people. It's clear. But we're talking about his people, and his people are those whom he has foreknown. Pure and simple. Right? Clear as a bell. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What's the second example, do you think? What's the second example in our passage that proves that God will not cast away his people? Well, we have the example of who? Elijah. Don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Isn't that interesting? Elijah made intercession to God against Israel. Against these folks. These people were bowing the knee to Baal, you see. They were bowing down and worshiping Baal. And he says, don't you remember Elijah, who made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they, who's that? They, Israel, have killed thy prophets and digged down their altars. So they tore down the altars that they had to God, and they built new altars to worship Baal. Can you believe it? And Elijah said, what'd he say? Lord, I'm the only one left. Do you ever feel like that as a Christian sometimes? You do, don't you? Lord, I must be the only one left that has not bowed the knee to Baal. So you have the example of Elijah. Did God cast away Elijah? No. Elijah still loved the Lord. He still served the Lord. He says, I'm left alone, and they, who's the they? They are seeking to kill me. Here's how God answered him. I have reserved. Do you see that? I have reserved. Why is it that anyone endures to the end, you see? Why is that? Because we're not capable of enduring on our own. We have a sinful nature. We have corruption in us, and we will fall away unless God saves us, you see. And when God saves us, He preserves us. All these years, you see, you thought you just made it because you were so good. You didn't. God reserved you. That's exactly the opposite of casting His people away, isn't it? God doesn't cast us away. He keeps us. I try to walk away and He grabs me and brings me back. And so Elijah says, or God tells Elijah, I have reserved to myself how many people? Well, 7,000 men. So at least 7,000 then. So what's the proof that God has not cast away His people? Well, Paul, Elijah, and now we see He didn't cast away 7,000 of them. Yes, sir? Well, it was millions. Yeah, it was millions. So this is a small fraction, wouldn't you say? And that's why they are called a remnant, you see. It wasn't like Israel was 10,000 people and 70% of them were saved. No. They were millions and only 7,000. Only 7,000 were not worshiping Baal. That's what amazes me, that Israel could fall so deep that they would bow down and worship Baal. But this proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God does not cast away His people. Because He didn't cast away Paul, He didn't cast away Elijah, and He didn't cast away these 7,000, did He? Verse 5, Paul is going to give us more proof. He says, even so then at what? At this present time, that is A.D. 60 or so, whenever he wrote Romans. Even so at this present time, there is a what? Remnant. That God has not cast away. You see, does God cast away His people? Why, no. So at the present time, there's a remnant. And again, he points out, according to the what? Election. I will never cast away mine elect. You see, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. The Jews said, no, it's not election that matters. It's this stuff that matters. And Paul says, no, it's not this stuff that matters. It's election that matters. And God will never cast away His elect. You get it? You get the flow of thought here, right? And here's the characteristic of this. It is by grace. You see, once we acknowledge that it is by election, which you must acknowledge if you read the Scripture honestly, right? You must acknowledge it. It's everywhere. It is the way God does redemptive business. He elects. And if He elects, and that's the reason you're saved, it's purely by grace, isn't it? It's not because you were so good, but it's because God was so gracious. And so, it's by grace. Now, if it's by grace, it has nothing to do with all this, does it? And that's what he said. Yes,
Anyway, he was saying that if you want to be saved, just say this prayer and ask God to forgive you for all the bad things you've done. And I told Jack, I said, is that what they're thinking, that God's bad things is the penalty of sin that we are under? I don't understand when that's as bad as that right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't deny that we do have to repent from sin and that kind of thing, but God causes us to do it. He gives us a new heart. Yesterday at the prison, we were talking about the process of salvation. And of course, we got election first. And then after that, you have the atonement. That is, Christ actually came and did the hard work. And then all of a sudden, 2,000 years later, I come along, and I drew my picture like that, and I told them, you know what, I really should have drawn the picture like this. You see, because I'm dead. When I'm born into this world, I am dead. And so something has to be done. To me, you ever seen a dead person line up at a funeral in the casket? You come up, you speak to them. Do they ever respond to you? If you tell them to get up, do they get up? No, because we know what dead means, right? And when we come into this world, we are dead. But if God has chosen us and if Christ has died for us, guess what? He sends the Holy Spirit and He does what for us? Makes us alive. So he, all of a sudden, he stands me up again, you see. And therefore, this little symbol there means therefore in mathematics. You remember that? Therefore, what do? I believe. I repent. And actually, I do good works. That's why James says, are we saved by our faith only? No, you better have some works too, because works proves that God has changed you. You see? I didn't know I was going to get to preaching like that in Sunday school. All right. Verse 7, what then hath Israel... Let me say it again. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Now, what does he mean there? He's talking about the nation, right? Israel, that nation, has not obtained it. But who hath obtained it? The elect. What is important to God? Is it a nation, a lineage from Abraham? The law, works, rituals? Is that what's important to God? No, it's the election. Once we understand that, we're going to start understanding the Bible a little bit. All right, I guess I'm going to have to stop there. Israel hath not obtained what he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest, you notice how the nation of Israel is referred to? They're just the rest of those old rascals. So what you've got here, I'll draw my circle again. If this is the nation of Israel, who hath obtained the promises? The elect. Who did not obtain them? All the rest of these rascals, you see? All the rest.